Morning, gentlemen. A privilege to have a gentleman with us this morning who is at Flatirons in the Next Gen program. He takes care of all the high school kids. Now, that's a challenge. But he's going to, I think, leave a message this morning that he might have shared with his high school group. So, was there a retreat, high school retreat?
Yeah, we had our summer camp about a month ago. Yes.
How many were there?
Roughly? 900. Oh, yes, 900.
900 at a high school camp retreat from Flatiron. So
yes.
It's a task, and we're blessed to have him there. So Aaron Schroeder.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Awesome. I think this is good, right? Just use this. Awesome.
Sorry.
Grab my Bible here. All right. Well, good morning. Hey, let me just say, first off, it's an honor to be here with you men this morning. Like Vern said, my name is Aaron Schroeder. I'm a youth pastor at Flatirons Church over in Lafayette. We got some campuses throughout the Denver area. And I'll share a little bit of my story and kind of what God's teaching me right now. But I kind of wanted to start because as Vern was kind of asking me to come and share at this. He mentioned that this group kind of started out of Promise Keepers, a Promise Keepers event. And I love that because my dad attended a Promise Keepers event, which I'm just here to remind you that make you feel old this morning, you know, that my dad was at that event. But no, I'm just kidding. But he attended this event. Yeah. He attended this event, and he would tell our family multiple times, like, this was like a defining moment for him, kind of like a stake in the ground moment for him and our family. And it kind of changed the story, kind of made him into the man he is today, changed his relationship with his dad, which had a huge impact on our family, and also helped him kind of step into his calling as a pastor. So my dad was a pastor. I grew up in the church, grew up around that. And so in a lot of ways, like, you guys are all here because of Promise Keepers and that event. I am as well, which is pretty cool, I think, just to kind of get to sharing that with you guys. That event had a huge role in my family, and I'm grateful for that. And so when Vern mentioned that this group kind of started out of that and asked if I'd want to share, I was pumped to get to do that and honored to get to do that with you guys. And so hopefully I can share with a word with you this morning that will encourage you, strengthen you, empower you to step into just God's purpose for your life. But kind of, I want to start just giving a little bit of like some student updates, some next gen. Listen, I get it. Like, there's a lot of like, what is going on with the next generation? And I get it, I feel it, I'm around it a lot, but I got an update in just that there's a lot of great things happening in the next generation as well. There's a lot that God's doing and shaping in the lives of some students, especially here in Boulder, which is they're being fed a lot of lies kind of in this area. And so, Vern mentioned we had our summer camp. We had over like about 900 students at that, which is incredible. Coming back from that, we had 85 students get baptized, make a first-time decision to follow Jesus, which is amazing. We got students just serving all across our church. They're excited about it. They want to be there, which just brings a good energy when we got some students who are just like, hey, I want to be a part of what's happening. I'm not coming to church just to consume or just to hear. Like, I want to be a part of what's happening here, which is really amazing. And then really there's just story after story after story of students who are actually kind of helping change the direction of their families. I'll tell you this one story. There's a girl, she's a junior, and she went to our summer camp this last year, and she came home from summer camp and was just so on fire for Jesus that she brought that back to her family. And she's just like, none of her family went to church, wasn't connected to anything like that at all. And she's now leading the charge in like, we got to get to church every single week. And that did something for the family where like mom and dad are like, what's going on? Like, we got to check this out. And so they start coming. It changed the direction of their family. They're now coming on a regular basis. I know mom and dad both have gotten baptized within the last year. Just a really cool story of a student kind of helping lead a charge in something where, you know, the parents should be doing that. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. And so a student's like, hey, let me help lead this and bring Jesus to my family, which just makes a big, big deal. And so today I'm going to speak a message that I spoke to our students not too long ago. And the reason I thought about doing this is because I really don't care if you're 30, you're 60, you're 90, you're 190. If you got breath in your lungs, like God's not done with you. And he's not done working. He's not done giving dreams. He's not done opening doors. And some of you today, like, you get that. You experience that. You're living in that. Some of you, if you're, like, you're honest, life might feel a little bit purposeless right now. And I kind of want to speak into some of that today because just in the way Next Gen's looking for purpose, that can be the same throughout our whole life if we're not willing and able to give that over to Jesus. And so if you got a Bible, I'm going to start just James chapter 5. James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Just going to read a couple verses to get us started this morning. James 5, verse 7, James writes this. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too then be patient. And stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about everybody's favorite thing, patience. You know, we all love to feel patient. Now, I don't have a great track record of being patient. I'll tell you this story. My very first day of getting my driver's license when I was 16 years old, my very first day, my family, we decided we were going to be moving across the country to Texas. And so I get my license that morning, and then like that afternoon, we're loading up the car, we're heading out to Texas. And for whatever crazy reason, my dad decided to let me drive some of the portion of this trip. So I don't know, he got tired or whatever, but he decides to let me drive the other car following him with just all our stuff. And so I'm driving, it's getting kind of late at night. We decide, all right, let's pull in, let's grab a hotel, we'll stay the night, and then we'll pick this up in the morning. And so my dad, he exits off the interstate. I'm in the car behind him with my mom in the passenger seat. I'm following behind him. He pulls in to a hotel, and you know, like you kind of have the little awning, like you pull up right there underneath. He went in to go see if there was any rooms available. And this was really before you're booking everything online and like getting ahead of all that stuff. So he went to go see if there was any rooms available, and I pulled in right behind him. So he goes in, I'm kind of sitting inside, me and my mom are talking, I got the windows rolled up, I got some music going in the car, and he walks out, and he kind of gives me this motion, and he goes, they're all booked up, with a little motion like this. Well, for me, I hear, back up, that's all I hear. And so I'm just taking my dad at his word. I don't look in my rearview mirror, I don't even turn around, I throw the car in reverse, start backing up. Quickly find out there's a car parked right behind me. And I just remember looking at my dad. He's just like, what are you, like, are you kidding me? But that's a moment, like, no patience. Like, I'm ready to get moving. I'm ready to get inside. Like, let's get into our room. That was an expensive lesson right there. But patience is interesting to me, right? Because everyone wants to have it, right? Like, no one wants to be known as an impatient person. Like, that's not anybody's desire. You're not going to meet anybody and, like, how they introduce themselves is like, hey, I'm really impatient. Like, just want to let you know that at the beginning. Everybody wants patience, but no one wants to have to need patience. The Greek word here in when James is writing, the Greek word used for patience is this word hupomeneo, which means to stand under. It means to stand under, but really it means to stand under with confidence. So to wait patiently means to stand under, to endure a trial without panicking. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand under this adversity, this trial, this difficulty. I'm going to stand under it, and I'm going to almost have this relaxed confidence about myself. Like, I'm not bringing an anxious presence. I'm not carrying fear in all the environments I'm walking into. There's a relaxed confidence about how I'm carrying myself. God's in control. Everything's going to be okay. Now you say, Aaron, how in the world can anybody have a relaxed confidence about anything right now? Like, you watch the news, you see what's going on, you see the craziness. I get it, right? But let me give you some good news, and let me give you some bad news when it comes to patience. Here's the good news when it comes to patience. The amount of patience you have can be developed. Like, you're not stuck with the amount of patience you feel like you have today. Patient people are made, they're not born. Now here's the bad news. Here's the bad news with patience. The only way to grow in your patience is to face difficult circumstances, difficult people, uncomfortable situations. And here's what happens. When you experience that, what happens is you begin to feel your patience getting lower. And so all we can do is ask God for more patience and then trust that He will give it to us as we interact with those around us. Now, many of you get this, right? You understand this as a follower of Jesus. You have faced difficult situations. I'm sure you face plenty of difficult people. Yes? But why as a follower of Jesus do we have this? Why are we called in the midst? Why do we have to experience these difficult things? Why do I have to face difficult people, have hard conversations, interact with people I disagree with? Why do I have to do this? Now, understand, the goal of the Christian life is to become more like Jesus. More like Jesus than you are today. And Scripture tells us God, He seeks to conform us into the image of Christ. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And so if God wants to conform us into the image of Jesus, right? If God wants to conform us into this image of Christ, how many of you know, though, you can't be conformed into anything without pressure? Think about a diamond, right? Diamonds are formed from pressure, intense heat and intense pressure that shapes it into what it is, a beautiful diamond, right? God seeks to form us into the image of Christ, something beautiful, right? How is He going to do it? Pressure, difficulties, trials. See, I think every single one of us, right? Every single one of us, we find ourselves on a journey of who I am today and who I am becoming. And listen, age doesn't matter in this. Again, 30, 60, 90, 190. Who I am today and who I am becoming. There are still things that God is shaping in you, molding in you, removing from your life, right? We're still called to be conformed into this image of Christ. We don't just arrive and then cash in our chips and wait until the day that we die, right? That's not the life of following Jesus. I'm constantly being shaped and molded to look more and more like Jesus than I was yesterday. And so on this journey of who I am today and who I am becoming, in the middle of this journey, right, there will be pressure. There will be difficulties. There will be trials. Some of you, you've experienced this. Some of you, you have testimony of this. Some of you are walking in this right now, right? Prayers seem unanswered. Goals feel delayed. Relationships are tested. Maybe you feel mistreated or unheard by other people. Your expectation of what you thought was going to happen goes unmet. But what so often happens, right, is when we're in the middle of who I am today and who I am becoming and pressure comes, difficulties come, here's what happens for so many, and I see this a lot within our next generation. They just quit. They give up. We start over. But when pressure is added, here's what God calls us to, patience. Patience. God uses this pressure to grow us in patience. Now, there was a study I saw not too long ago, and they talked about how we're living today in a 10-second culture. And this was actually 3 or 4 years ago, so it's probably more like a 5-second culture now. People will wait 10 seconds. That's it. They will wait 10 seconds for a video to load, for them to get their food or get their order or wait on a wait, anything like this. We live in a culture of speed. We have all these apps now, DoorDash, Amazon, Uber, Google, Instagram, Tinder, all this stuff is for immediate gratification, right? And so I really think because of this, this is why our culture today, so many in our culture today have given up on following God. They'll pray for 10 seconds. They'll read their Bible for 10 minutes. They'll serve for 10 days. They'll go to church for 10 weeks. And they're I'm not really seeing the fruit of what's going on. And then they cash it in and they give it up. That's what I love so much about this group right here, right? 40 years, Vern was telling me. You guys meeting together, that's incredible, right? That's patience. And I'm sure through that, there's probably a lot of Friday mornings where you're I don't know if I want to lean into this morning. It'd be easier to sleep in. It'd be easier to stay home. But when pressure comes, it makes it easy to give up. But in the middle of those pressure, in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of trials, having a community like this, first and foremost, is going to help shape you into who God is calling you to be. But this is why patience is important to God. Like, God doesn't want you to grow in your patience just so you, like, don't yell at your family, right? Or have road rage when you're driving. Like, sure, that's important to God. Yeah. Some of you got some stories of that, I'm sure. That's important to God, right? Like, he wants us to do those things. But here's why God calls us to grow in patience. It's because persevering faith and gladness in God requires patience. Persevering for the long haul. Persevering faith and gladness in God requires patience. I think this is why James tells us, wait like a farmer. Because where you are today is not who you're becoming. But who you are becoming will go through a process of pressure and trials and difficulties. But this pressure, it requires patience. And so all we can do is ask God to grow us in this patience. Now let me get really practical with you. Because on this journey of who I am today and who I am becoming, how can we practice patience in the midst of pressure? I'm going to give you just two things. Here's the first one. First one is get a vision. Get a vision for your life. Farmers understand vision, right? They plant seeds today, they reap a harvest tomorrow. They can be patient in the present because they are focused on the future. There's a future hope. There's a future joy. There's a future rest in Jesus. Vision for the future helps build patience in the present. Vision for the future helps build patience in the present. And many of us, like, we find ourselves impatient with God today, and maybe even impatient with ourselves, because here's what we do. We ask God for trees, but God gives you seeds. No, God, like, I asked you for a tree. He says, no, listen, like, I gave you everything to get that tree. He gives us a seed, and we gotta be faithful with it and watch that seed become a tree. But for many of us, when God gives us seeds, we don't have a vision for what this seed might become, and so we give up. Vision's not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about growth. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, he understood this. Joseph would dream about being a good leader. He had vision for his future. He had vision for what God wanted to do in his life. Even his family betrayed him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. But God allowed Joseph to go through these trials that put pressure on him. So here was Joseph today, and here was the vision Joseph had from God. And on this journey, there was pressure, right? You know the story. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was thrown in prison. He was tempted to sleep with his boss's wife. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. I love this scripture. In the midst of that, because he had a vision for his future, here was his response to all this. I could never do such a wicked thing before my God. That's vision. He knows what he's called to. He knows what God has for his life. And so in the midst of pressure and difficulties and temptation and all this being thrown his way, he knows what God's called him to. He knows what God has for his life. And in the midst of that, he says, I could never do something so wicked before my God. See, understand the thing that you're longing today for your family, for yourself, for your kids, whatever, believing for your future, it might just be the very same reason God has allowed some of the difficult things to come your way. Your prayer may have been answered. And so grow in your patience while under this pressure, while under difficulty, while under trial. So I think that's the first one. Get a vision for your life. Number two, get on mission with your life. Get on mission with your life. I think many of us struggle to be patient under pressure because we look at everything we don't have instead of getting on mission right now with what we do have. The parable of the talents, right? Matthew 25. I love this parable. Jesus gives this parable talking about how there was talents of five, talents of two, and talents of one given to the workers as he left. And what did they do? The man with the five talents doubled his talents, came back with 10. The man with two doubled his talents, came back with 4. But the man who was given one, what did he do? He buried his treasure and he earned nothing. And see, I think the man who is given the one talent, here, like, I love this story because I love the parables Jesus gives because there's so many things that can be going on with these. But I read this story, and I was reading it, like, the first, not this long ago, and I never thought about it this way. But I've always thought, like, the man, why did he just bury it? Like, why, like, what was it that kept him from investing it, kept him from doing anything with it? Was it just fear that he was going to lose it? Was it like, I don't know what it was. And I started thinking about it, and I really felt like he decided to do nothing with what he was given because all his goals were 5-talent goals. Does that make sense? And so he did nothing with the 1 talent because he was jealous of the gifts of the others around him. He looked at those around him. He's like, well, the things that I want to do, I need the 5 talents or I need the 2 talents. But instead of taking the 1 talent that God had given him to try to invest it, to earn more, to grow in this, he just buried it. Listen, don't bury what God has given you right now. Don't let your impatience keep you from getting on mission right now. Maybe you have vision for the future, but in the meantime, get on mission right now. Get on mission with serving your church. Get on mission with loving your family. Get on mission with praising Jesus in the storms. Right now, today, don't wait for the future. Do it today. And so on this journey of who I am today and who I am becoming, like, here's just the reality. As followers of Jesus, we know this, we can embrace this. Many of you have experienced this. You're walking in this. Pressure will come. Trials will come, but hold on. Don't give up. There's hope, right? There's hope. We know this to be true. His name is Jesus. He's with you. He's for you. He has a plan for you. So, like, part of my story, right, I was mentioning I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor. We moved around a ton, went to some different churches, kind of grew up in it. And it was funny for me because, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but the one thing I knew I didn't want to do was be a pastor. You know, it was like, that. I know I don't want to do that. Anything else, like, let that be the goal for me. But I remember, football was everything for me. Played high school football in Texas, which, if you know anything about that, it's a religion in itself. But I grew up playing high school football in Texas, and that was kind of it for me. Like, that was the thing. That was the goal. That's what I wanted to do. And man, I was pretty good. Like, I had some offers. I had some opportunities to go play college football. But I remember my junior year, the summer going into my senior year, God got a hold of my life. And it was one of those things where, like, I grew up in the church. I knew it. I was around it. Like, I knew the Bible stories. But it was something different. It was something different. To where he tugged on my heart in a way that, like, I just wasn't prepared for. He gave me vision for what God has and wants to do in my life. And that's what sustained me through trials and difficulties from senior year to 10 years later, walking in different things and trying to figure out what that's going to look like. I remember I moved to Colorado in 2020, which, crazy year, right? And so I moved to Colorado in 2020, a month before COVID started. So I moved 1 month before COVID started. And I moved out here because God had given me a vision for my life. And when I say vision, don't think, like, I'm not saying weird stuff. Like, it wasn't an actual dream, but I didn't see the face of Jesus. I wish I would have. That would have been awesome. But he planted something in my heart, right? Like, he implanted something in my heart. This is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to be faithful with. And so I moved out to Colorado. And within a month, right, COVID happens. Lose my job. I'm staying with some other guys who they end up going back home. And so I'm now in this new city. I don't know a single person. I don't have a job. I have no money. And I'm like, God, you wanted me to move out here to help start a church. Now we can't even do the church because of COVID. Like, what's going on? Like, what do you want me to do? And I remember I called my dad and I was like, Dad, I think, like, I'm just going to come home. Like, I'm just going to come back home. I don't think this is what you have for me. Like, I don't think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know why I did this. This is a dumb decision. And I remember he just said, hey, just be patient. Just be patient. Give it a couple minutes. Give it a couple weeks. Give it a couple months. Don't give up on this yet. And that was one of those moments where I was just, like, broken before God, to where it's like, God, any plan that I have isn't going to work. And so I got no money. I got no friends. I got no family out here. But for whatever reason, I feel like I'm supposed to be out here for a reason. And so, God, whatever you want to do in my life, just do it. And that was one of those moments where it's like it took patience. It didn't happen overnight. But to just see, and just to see the way God moved. I remember a week after that happened, after I got off the phone with my dad, I get a random text from my buddy, and he says, "Hey, check your Venmo account." Which, if you don't know what Venmo is, it's like just a way to transfer money. And he sends me $1,000 just out of the blue, $1,000. And he's like, "Hey, man, I was just thinking about you. I know you're out in Colorado. I'm sure it's probably a little difficult out there. Hope this helps." 2 weeks later, I get a letter in the mail. And it's another family. And this is a family I met out in Colorado. And they said, "Hey, we know you moved out here to help start a church. We think that's incredible. We think God wants to do something special in your life. Another check for $1,000. And so within a month, and I'm not, like, it's not always money, right? But just in that moment to, like, be patient and trust God and lean on Him led to, man, today I met my wife out here in Colorado, which probably wouldn't have happened if I would have backed out as soon as I did. I've gotten connected with a great church here at Flatirons. I love getting to do ministry to these students, getting to be a part of, I think within the 2.5 years that I've been here, we've seen almost 300 students get baptized and say yes to Jesus for the first time in an area where the next generation needs it. They need it. And so, man, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with just one more scripture, Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Let me go there real quick. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And as I think about patience and just what God wants to do in my life and in your life, man, be faithful with the little. Be faithful with what's in front of you. Be faithful with the family, with the jobs, with the community, with the church that's all in front of you. Be faithful with that and watch how God will bless it. Watch how God will give more opportunities, give you influence, and give you a life that's on purpose and on mission for Him. So I hope that encourages you this morning. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be done. Jesus, we love you, and we're just so thankful. First off, I'm just thankful just to get to be here with men who've made a commitment for almost 40 years now, to gather on a weekly basis and just sit under your word, sit under your authority, sit under your presence. There's something powerful and special about that. And honestly, for me, it's inspiring and encouraging of what a life of faithfulness can look like. And so, God, I'm just praying for these men and whatever they're walking through. God, I just felt a tug from you to share a message that probably I would normally speak to high school age students. But it's a message that applies for all of us because we know as long as we're breathing, as long as there's life, as long as there's a new day, God, there's dreams, there's goals, there's stuff that you want to do in and through us. And so, God, don't let us cash it in. Don't let us get lazy, but continue to lean in to what you might have for us and to be patient with what we're walking, because we know you have a bigger plan. We know you have more for us. And so, Jesus, we love you. We're thankful for you. And we know that the ultimate vision of what our life is comes through you. And so help us to lean on that. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.